Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you this morning as we gather here on this Sunday to worship and praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please take the time to look at your bulletin and to note what will be going on here at Olney Presbyterian Church in the coming weeks. You can also go to our webpage to be able to find out what is happening here as well. We're gearing up for things like Vacation Bible School that will rapidly coming up on us, so please make sure that you take the time to familiarize yourself with all that is happening here at Olney Presbyterian Church. Just a reminder, too, that on Wednesdays we meet here at 11 a.m. for Bible study. We'd love to have you to come out and join us for that, but it's every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Friends, our scripture reading this morning is going to come from the Gospel of Luke. We'll be reading from the 8th chapter of Luke's Gospel, beginning at verse 26 and reading through 39. So let us listen to God's word for us this morning. Then they arrived at the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. And as he stepped out on land, a man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he did not live in a house but in the tombs. But when he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bounds and be driven by the demon into the wilds. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him, and they begged him not to order them to go back into the abyss. Now there on the hillside, a large herd of swine was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. And then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the swine herd saw what had happened, they ran off and told it in the city and in the country. And then people came out to see what had happened. And when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And those who seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. And then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to lead them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." And so he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. It's the word of the Lord. The story of the Gerasene demoniac is one of my favorite gospel stories. I admit it's a little strange. In fact, it has all the trappings of a modern American horror movie. A man filled with demons living in a graveyard, mutilating himself and howling and shrieking late into the night. Some of us are reminded of some of the horror movies we may have grown up watching where people are possessed with demons and devils. But I like this story not so much because of the special effects or the more intriguing parts of it, but I like it in part because it tells us that Jesus is willing to go almost any place. He's willing to go to almost any God-forsaken place in order to bring the light of God's love and healing and freedom. I remember discussing this passage with someone several years ago, and I can still hear him saying, "You don't really believe that stuff, do you? You don't really believe that nonsense about demons jumping in and out of people, taking over people's lives." And I told them, "No, I don't believe that what I believe in is God. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe in the healing and redemptive, liberating power of God's love. That's what I believe. But I do acknowledge that there are dark spiritual forces at work in the world, spiritual forces that get into us, spiritual forces that oppress us, that take over our lives and turn us against ourselves and each other, forces and powers that lead to death, spiritual death, and that's what's happened to the demoniac. His life has been taken over by forces and powers that are beyond his control. But the good news, of course, is that the Lord of life himself has come ashore in the region of the Gerasenes. Jesus has already been on the other side of Galilee. He decides to cross over the Sea of Galilee, and while he's still on the Sea of Galilee, he has to confront a storm. A vicious storm begins to come up on the Sea of Galilee, and he and his disciples have to deal with the storm, and he puts out the storm, and then he gets to the shore of Galilee, to the shore of Gerasenes on the other side of Galilee. And we should note that Gerasa was an unclean territory from the Jewish perspective. No self-respecting Jew would have come anywhere near it. We're told that it's unclean by the presence of the pigs there. Jews didn't keep pigs. They didn't eat pigs. They had no reason for pigs. Pigs were unclean, and yet we're told that there are swine there, and yet Jesus goes to the Gerasenes. This is where Jesus is coming. This is where Jesus always comes, to spiritually unclean places and people. He comes not to demonize them or tell them how horrible they are, but he comes to bring to them the light of God's love and healing and freedom, and that's what this demoniac needs. He needs healing. He needs liberation. He needs to be set free from the demons that are tormenting him. We're reminded this morning in our text that healing and liberation begin first with naming. It begins first with discerning. And that's what Jesus says, "What is your name? Who are you?" In the gospel stories, the demons all know who Jesus is. As soon as Jesus comes ashore, the demoniac rushes to Jesus and he says, "Why are you here? Why? What do you have to do with us, Son of the Most High God?" The demons know who Jesus is, but now Jesus forces the demons to name themselves. He forces them to come out into the open. "What is your name?" he says. "Who are you?" And the demon replies, "My name is Legion, for we are many." In other words, the man doesn't have just one demon. He doesn't have just two demons. He doesn't have even seven demons like Mary Magdalene. Jesus cast seven demons out of Mary Magdalene. But this man has a whole troop of demons. No wonder we are told that this man is strong. No wonder we are told he is so powerful. No wonder no one can restrain him. He says, "My name is Legion." And that's what the devils want Jesus to know, that they are powerful. And that's what he wants us to know too, that they're powerful. But no matter how powerful they may be, they know that Jesus has the authority to cast them out. And so they beg Jesus to cast them out into the swine herd, which Jesus does. And the pigs go trampling off the cliff to their doom into the abyss. A very strange story in many ways. But in many ways, a very familiar story, too. A story that perhaps we can recognize. Just lift up a few interesting things about the story. One is the name Legion itself. Many of us know that Legion was the name of the powerful Roman army. And the Roman army occupied and controlled the whole area. It controlled Gerasa. It controlled the region of the Decapolis where Gerasa was located. It controlled Judea. It was in possession of the whole region. So not only was this demoniac occupied and possessed, but the whole region was occupied and controlled by a foreign power that turned it against itself. But for some reason, this one man has been scapegoated and demonized, and he's the one who acts out the spiritual pathologies that really belong to the whole region. That's the way life is sometimes. That's the way society is sometimes. Certain people, because of their vulnerabilities and the stresses that come with those vulnerabilities, are the ones who display the spiritual pathologies of a whole society. They are the ones who are usually segregated and relegated to the tombs and the zones of death of a given society. They are the ones who are most actively restrained and controlled and imprisoned. They are the ones who are the most actively engaged in self-destructive behavior of themselves and of their communities. But they are not the only ones who are possessed. We are reminded that the whole region is possessed. The whole region is occupied by unclean spirits. And that's why this story is so important. Because this story is our story. We all live in Gerasa. We all live in unclean territory. We're all subject to legions of unclean spirits that often dominate us, that often control us, that often possess us. And we can easily come to name some of the most powerful demons that often afflict us: anger, hatred, greed, addictions of various kinds of divisions, racism and sexism, all kinds of demons that come to dominate our lives and that seek to tell us who we are. We all live in Gerasa. Different kinds of demons, but the object is always the same. Their object is always death. Their object is to move us further and further from God and each other and to move us closer and closer to death. It's interesting. Sometimes whenever we see people and we wonder, they do something and we wonder why they might have done that. You ever wonder that? Somebody does something, you say, wonder what got into that person. Why did they do that? What possessed them to do that? I was going down the street not long ago, and a young man was coming down the street in the other direction, and he was saying something at the top of his voice. I think he was rapping, but he was just yelling at the top of his voice and singing at the top of his voice, but the language that he was using was just atrocious. And I thought to myself, what in the world has gotten into him? What in the world is he possessed by? I would call it legion. One of the legion has occupied his heart and his mind. One of the legion has clouded his imagination, has come to dominate his understanding of reality. It's not just true of individuals, it's true of whole countries too. Have you ever read history and you read about things that are going on in countries and you wonder, what in the world possessed them to do that? What propelled them in this direction? Why did this country go in this direction? I was reading the other day about Rwanda. This is almost the 30th anniversary of the Civil War there in Rwanda. Rwanda's an East African nation. One of the most Christianized nations in Africa and one of the most Christianized nations in the world. There are churches everywhere and people there got along with each other. The two main tribes, Hutus and Tutsis, they got along with each other, worked with each other, worshiped with each other, married each other. But all of a sudden, in the course of a few short months, they were engaged in a terrible civil war where they were killing each other. Even in churches, they were killing each other. People who worshiped together was killing each other. And you think, what in the world got into them? What could have possessed them? What could have changed a people so dramatically? I'm sure there are all kinds of political and sociological and anthropological explanations for what happened, but I have a simple one. Legion. They allowed themselves to be dominated by a legion of unclean spirits. But that's where the good news comes in, because it's in the midst of this kind of world that Jesus comes to be in our midst. He comes to bring us God's healing. He comes to bring us God's love. He comes to bring us God's freedom, God's liberation, if we'll have it. He comes to set us free from whatever demons control our lives, whatever we have, unclean spirits we've allowed to come and dominate our lives. He comes to set us free so that we can be the true human beings that God has called us to be. And that leads me to the second thing I find interesting about this story. Jesus heals the man. He liberates the man from his demons. And the man who was formerly had the demons, he's at Jesus' feet and he's clothed and he's in his right mind. And everybody hears about it and they come and they see him there. They see him clothed in his right mind. This man who was a former demoniac, this man who screeched and howled, this man who was constantly imprisoned, that no one could restrain, there he is, and he's clothed and he's in his right mind. And you would expect people to say, hallelujah, praise God, look, the demoniac, this man who was filled with demons, look, he's been liberated, look, he's set free, this man who was naked, now he's clothed, look, this man who lived among the tombs, here he is now at the feet of Jesus. Hallelujah, isn't God great? But that's not what they say. Instead, we are told that they are seized with fear. They're afraid. And they tell Jesus to leave. Can you imagine that? They don't want to be set free from their demons. They don't want to be set free from the things that oppress them. They don't want to see this demoniac who's in their midst clothed and in his right mind. They would rather have their demons than have the freedom of God. They would rather have their demons than to be liberated. I understand most of it because Jesus has interrupted things. He's interrupted the way things work. He's interrupted their economy. He sent the unclean spirits and the pigs go over, and that was probably the livelihood for many of the people of Gerasa, and he's interrupted that. Just like when we find that our economy is interrupted, we get scared. It scares us because it forces us to think about what it might mean to live differently. But the people of Gerasa are afraid. They're scared. And the demoniac says he wants to go. I don't blame him. He's been set free. He's been liberated. And he doesn't want to stay there anymore. He wants to go with Jesus. He wants to live more fully into the life of liberty that Jesus comes to bring him. But Jesus says, no, I want you to stay here. I need you to stay here in this place and to be a witness. And isn't that how God often operates? God often takes the people who have been most demonized. God often takes the people who have been most scapegoated. God often takes the people that no one else believes anything good can come of. And those are the people that God calls to be witnesses for him in the midst of the world. Jesus says, I need you to stay. I need you to stay here. I need you to stay in this unclean territory. I need you to stay here amongst this unclean people. I need you to bear witness to these people. A little later in the gospel, Jesus will swing back into Gerasa, and the whole town will come out to see him and to celebrate him. Celebrate the loving, healing, liberating power of God. And it could only be because of one person. It could only be because of the former demoniac who's had his spirits, unclean spirits, replaced by a whole new spirit, a Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God and the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is in the power of that Holy Spirit that that former demoniac bears witness to the power of God in our world and in our lives. And it has an impact on the whole community, on the whole city of Gerasa. And that's where you and I come in, because we have that Holy Spirit too. We have the Spirit of God and the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ in the midst of this world where the spirits seem to run so rampant. The unclean spirits, they seem to run so rampant. You know that. You see what I see. You watch the television, your own social media. You see the people around us. You know how the unclean spirits speak to us, speak to our world. But you and I have the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of love, the Spirit of life, and the Spirit of liberation. And it's the Spirit that you and I are called to bear witness to as we make our way as God's people in the midst of this world. So we give God thanks this morning that God has not left us alone, that God comes to the most God-forsaken places to save us and to help us to be the people that God has called us to be. Let us pray. Gracious God, it is in the power of your Holy Spirit that we come here this morning. It is in the power of your Holy Spirit that you have called us together to love each other, to care for each other, to bear each other up, and to proclaim to the whole world that you have called us into a new way of life. And we recognize that our world needs to see that new way of life like never before. In this world of division, in this world of increasing violence, in this world of hatred, in this world where the spirits, the unclean spirits, are doing everything they can to stir up chaos and confusion and death, you have called us to be the agents of love and life and reconciliation in the midst of the world. And so we pray, Lord, that you help us to continue to be open to the movement of your Holy Spirit as your Spirit continues to stir in our hearts, continues to stir in our community, and continues to stir in this world that you love so very much, this world that you have already undertaken to redeem in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has come to us in the midst of our darkness. And it's in his name that we pray here this morning. Amen.